Today we're continuing our series on hospitality. Last week we talked about what it looked like to love those we hold most dear, to show a wide welcome to them, even if that meant accepting their quirks and flaws as well. Today we're expanding a little bit, those whom we are commanded to love. We're no longer just talking about those who are our most treasured people in the world, friends and family, our beloved. But now we're talking about the command to love those we might not know well, our neighbors, our acquaintances, our coworkers, the people that fill our days and take up our time, the people that we might not know or even like, but are still called to extend hospitality to. This is who we as Christians are called to live. In our text this morning, we overhear a conversation between Jesus and a great expert of the law. And the expert of the law wonders to Jesus, who might his neighbor be? And in response, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, showing us what it means to be a good neighbor and reminding us of the command, all Christians, to have mercy on everybody we meet. Hear with me the story of the Good Samaritan found in Luke 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But the man wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.'" Then Jesus said, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love how the story in today's text unfolds for us. We get to overhear this conversation with Jesus and one of the many people that he interacted with, people that may or may not have believed in him, may or may not have been in support of him. This expert of the law asks Jesus, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The expert must have known the answer because he was, after all, an expert of the law. But we're told that he was testing Jesus, maybe seeing what Jesus knew or seeing what he could get away with. Instead of answering the man's question, Jesus pushes back and he says, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" The man replies, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus affirms him, "Yes, this is what the law teaches us to do, and this was what was widely believed in Jesus' day was required in order to inherit eternal life." So Jesus says, "You've answered correctly, do this and you will live." But the man pushes Jesus and questions him further. He's not happy with Jesus' answer. The Bible says that he wanted to justify himself. Maybe he had been hoping Jesus would lighten up on the command a little, because it is a hard thing to follow, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe the man was feeling a little guilty that he wasn't living up to this requirement. Maybe he was hoping to get away with less work. So he asks Jesus, "If I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, who exactly is my neighbor? Who am I required to love?" You can see the man's true motives coming out here, not wanting to extend that love and care any further than he had to. Jesus tells a parable in response. And he tells of a man going down to Jerusalem who gets beat up and left for dead. And a priest happens to walk by on this popular road outside of Jerusalem. And we as the readers think, oh good, the story's going to have a happy ending. Who better to save the day than a priest? The day must be saved. Except the priest does something unexpected. Instead of stopping and helping this man, he walks to the other side of the road and averts his eyes and hurries by, pretends like he doesn't see this need. Oh no, what's going to happen to the wounded man now? But wait, then a Levite comes by, another religious good man. And he too crosses to the other side of the road, pretending like there's nothing going on, maybe too busy to help, and he hurries by. Finally, a third man comes, but oh no, it's a Samaritan, a savage half-breed, the worst of the worst, according to the Jewish people. The wounded man must be doomed for sure. But instead of killing this man and taking whatever he had left, the Samaritan does something quite unexpected. He stops and helps. And it's not a small gesture either. It's not like he pulled off to the side of the road in his cart and asked if the guy needed to borrow his cell phone to phone a friend. But he gives him over and above what anyone would expect from a stranger. The Bible tells us that he saw him, he took pity on him, that he bandaged his wounds, that he poured oil and wine over him, that he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn. He stayed and took care of him and paid for his care, promised to return and pay for any other expenses. Over the top, abundant care, coming from the one we would expect the least, not coming from the good, faithful priest and Levite, whom should have known better. So Jesus asks the expert of the law then, out of these three men, who was a neighbor to the wounded man? The expert of the law, unable to even say the Samaritan's name, says the one who had mercy on him was his neighbor. And Jesus tells him and us that we are to go and do likewise. There's something very real about this story, the human brokenness, our tendency to judge and withhold love, human selfishness. We aren't told why the first two men didn't stop and help that wounded man. Maybe they were afraid they would be hurt as well. Oftentimes in that day, people would pretend to be injured and hide by the side of the road. And when somebody would stop and help, people would jump out and rob and beat up that person. So maybe they were afraid of the cost of helping another. Maybe they were too busy. Maybe there was no time in their action-packed schedules to meet the needs that arise as they go through life. Maybe they just didn't care. They saw this man and didn't relate to him. It wasn't their problem that he was hurt. He wasn't suffering from something that affected them. So they took no responsibility for saving his life. We aren't told why they didn't stop, but for whatever reason, they saw this man in need and kept on walking. And it was the Samaritan, the least expected of the bunch, who chose to show mercy to the wounded man and models for us what it means to be a good neighbor. We are told we should go and do likewise. But what exactly did he do? What exactly is Jesus telling we should do likewise? Because I have a feeling it's more than just keeping our eye out for a wounded man along the side of the road and throwing him on our donkey if he needs help. What does a Samaritan have to teach us about being neighborly? In the most basic sense, being neighborly is drawing near to somebody else, drawing near to another human being. That's exactly what the Samaritan did. He drew near to this wounded man. He saw his need. He allowed himself to be pulled in by his story, to be affected by him, to have compassion. And then he responded with love. He opened his own heart up and allowed himself, however briefly, to enter into relationship with this wounded man, to show us what it looks like to love and to care for another. This is what it means to be a good neighbor. This is what it means to show hospitality to those around us. to care for each other, to become entangled with somebody else's joys and sorrows, to make a connection, person to person, soul to soul, to draw near and enter relationship. Reverend Nanette Sawyer says it well in her book, Hospitality, the Sacred Art. She says, hospitality is about so much more than welcoming a stranger to our dinner table. It involves welcoming people into our lives and welcoming their lives and their stories into our heart. Welcoming people into our lives and welcoming them into our hearts. It's not easy. Drawing near to someone means that they might change you, their different story, their different experience, their different opinions and views on life might impact you, and yet we are called to welcome them nonetheless. Responding with compassion to somebody might mean that your busy schedule will be interrupted. It might get in the way of how our day was supposed to go. And yet still we're called to be on the lookout for opportunities to show mercy. Opening ourselves up to relationship with another might teach us something difficult about ourselves, might force us to grow and to change. And yet this is the work that we are called to as followers of Jesus. Being neighborly is about allowing yourself to draw near to another human being, become entangled in their own story. It's not about judging whether somebody is worthy of your care, if they're deserving of that love, if they've done enough to be blessed by your help, but it's about offering a friendly hand to whoever is in need. It's about inviting people into relationship with you, even if it's just for a moment. A sympathetic ear, a helping hand, standing in solidarity with someone who is in need of help. Being neighborly, showing hospitality, is about extending mercy and compassion to everyone we meet, to loving the way that Christ has first loved us. The temptation, of course, is to only be nice to people that we like, only be nice to people that we know and love and care for, to make time to stop and help people that remind us of ourselves or who are similar to us or have the same kinds of problems that we have. But the parable of the Good Samaritan expands our responsibility to care not just for ourselves, not just for our loved ones, but for anybody that we encounter. People who we wouldn't traditionally see as our neighbors, people who we might never call our friend. Instead of limiting who we're called to show hospitality to, who we're called to be a good neighbor to, Jesus does just the opposite. He expands it. He tells us that we should no longer just extend hospitality to our literal neighbors, but that we are to be a good neighbor to anybody who has need. I love the ending that Jesus puts on this story, the spin he gives to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Instead of answering the man's question about who his neighbor was, who he's required to show love to, Jesus tells him instead that we are to become the good neighbor, that we ourselves are to become the kind of person that loves and cares for those around us. And it starts with making room in our own hearts for another, asking God to help us see those in need, respond with compassion, asking God to help us make room in our lives for other people, to care about them and to invest in them. Asking God to help us be open to whatever gifts and challenges these new relationships may bring. The work of hospitality is not easy. It's a discipline that we have to practice. We have to strengthen our muscles to learn how to love people who are different than us because it is difficult to love. In your bulletin this week and all of throughout this series, I've had different ways that you could practice this at home. And you'll notice that this week I have different ways that you can practice loving those who you might not know, you might not know well. I'd encourage you to read those over and to pick one or two and be on a lookout for how you can love and be a merciful neighbor to those in need. And as we go about our week, I'd encourage you to be asking, who are the people that God has brought across your path that are in need of mercy? Who are the people that God is calling you to enter into a deeper relationship with, to show that neighborly love to? Maybe it's a new face at church, somebody at school or at work that you don't know well, but have a little stirring that maybe God wants you to love and care for in a better way. Maybe it's just somebody you bump into at the grocery store who needs a smiling face, a welcoming hand. There's so much need in our world, loneliness and pain and grief, the desire to belong, the desire to have somebody hear your story and to care about what's happening to you. Hospitality, being neighborly, is how we can meet that need. It's how we as Christians can make God's love tangible to the world around us. It's one of the best ways we can care for the people God has brought into our lives. The invitation from our scripture today is to draw near to those in need, not to judge whether or not somebody's worthy of our care, but to become a good neighbor to all those we meet. Let us commit ourselves this week to offering hospitality to all God brings across our path and becoming the merciful neighbor that we are called to be. Let us pray. Lord, you have loved us with a selfless love, and though we know that we should do likewise, it's so hard to do. Give us the eyes of Jesus to see our neighbors and the strangers that we meet. Teach us what it means to love the stranger as we love ourselves. Forgive us of our selfishness and our silence, for not caring enough for the stranger who comes to our communities, for the neighbor that we haven't met yet. Teach us to love and care for the stranger the way that you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.